We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast.
Hello and welcome. Today I want to talk a little about Duskwood. Duskwood is an alliance zone that's located south of Elwynn Forest and to the north of Northern Stranathorn. You need to go through it to get into Deadwing Pass, which is the zone where Karazhan is. So back in the day, because the Deadwing Pass zone doesn't have a flight point, you had to fly to the main city of Duskwood, which was Darkshire. The zone is a level 20 to 25 zone, and it has quite a bit of lore relevance. The two flight points we have are the one in the main city in the zone, Darkshire, as I just stated, and the flight point they added with the Cataclysm revamp, which was Raven Hill. I really love the lore relevance of Duskwood very much, because they are so subtle in so many ways and still so profound, and few people know about it. To just state a few, we have the Black Riders from Deadwind Pass, which are believed to be a group of Death Knights, the Death Knights that were created by Gul'dan back in the First War. We have the Scythe of Illuun with the entire Vorgan history, the original one. There are quite a few really, really interesting lore things going on in this zone. One very special thing that this zone has is that you have a portal in this zone, one of four on Azeroth, that leads to the Emerald Dream. It's in the central area called Twilight Grove, and in vanilla you had one of four world bosses there that you could fight, one for each of the portals, the green dragons. These so-called Dragons of Nightmare, we had four of them, as I said. We had Lithon, Emerys, Yassandra, and Tyra. They spawned at the four locations: Duskwood in the Twilight Grove, Saradane in the Hinterlands, the Dream Boar in Feralas, and Boar Shadow in Ashenvale. Now, if I were to put on my tinfoil hat, and maybe we would surmise that one of the next expansions would bring us some sort of Emerald Dream content, I would very much think that these four portals were to be entry points into that region. So again, Duskwood is one of the areas where you would need to go to enter the Emerald Dream, or Emerald Nightmare, however you want to put it. Another lore worthy mention, as I said earlier, are the Dark Riders of Deadwing Pass. Not very much is known about them, but if you quest through the zone and you'll meet up with Sven Jorgen and visit the Jorgen farmstead, you'll find out a little about it. It is mentioned that they are allied with Morbrand Fell, one of the more prominent characters in the zone. Morbrand Fell being a necromancer who ruled the undead of Duskwood, and that is why the Ravenhill Cemetery area is occupied by these risen undead, together with the Forlorn Grove especially. The last lore bit I want to mention is I want to briefly mention the Scythe of Illuun. It's a very mysterious item. Velinde Starsong was granted the Scythe of Illuun to fight against the Burning Legion in Fellwood and Ashenvale, but the more she used it, the more the barriers of time and space weakened, and that drew the Vorgan into the world of Azeroth, presenting a whole new problem. So she set out to find Arugal to help her get this problem under control. Arugal was an Archmage of the Kirin Tor, And if you remember back to the Vanilla days, he was the final boss in Shadow Fang Keep, the original version of it, with all the Vorgan in it. But he himself was fighting a losing battle as well. So he used something called the Research of Ur, which was shadow magic. And he summoned Vorgan to bolster his ranks, to defend himself. So he basically took it upon himself to become the pack leader, so to speak, of the Vorgan. And to get back to the Scythe of Ilun, Valendi Starsong lost it in a cave in Duskwood, not before she had decided to stop using it, because she realized how much harm it did, and the more she used it, the more Vorgan she would summon. Unbeknownst to her, of course, Arugal continued doing just that with other means. So that's why we have two different packs of Vorgan, literally. One are the summoned ones that Valindi Starsong summoned, the ones in Duskwood, and the other ones over in Silverpine Forest and in Briarwood are the ones that Arugal summoned. We still have remainders of it, in that we have a couple of the elites, Sons of Arugal, I think they're called, running around in Silverpine Forest. So back in Vanilla days, pre-Cataclysm, there were quite a few more. So beware of what you use if you dabble in magic. If you don't really know how stuff works, don't use it unless you're absolutely certain. Alright guys, I hope you got a little understanding out of it and found that if you have overlooked Duskwood so far, it's well worth a playthrough for the lore bits alone, if you're interested in lore. If you have questions or suggestions for me about what to cover next, tweet me at GrenNegus1, write me an email at towerofcommerce@gmail.com. I don't want to close today's segment without giving a shout out to Lycan from Pwncast. Thank you, Lycan, for letting me guest on your stream. I hope we can do it again sometime. It was really cool to talk lore. So if you want to visit Lycan, you can find him at twitch.tv/Pwncast Monday nights, 9:30 to 12:30 a.m. Mountain Time. This has been Grant Negus, Rule of Acquisition, number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
Hello, guys. This is Durans Movies, and welcome to a bit of a different video. Now, a lot of people lately, or at least in the past year, or pretty much ever since the Warcraft movie was announced, they have been asking me to do something about the Warcraft movie. So, since there's all this new info and all the stuff new, like the new stuff that we learned, I thought I would finally do like a video covering some of the lore you should know about all of the events that are gonna happen during the movie. Now, of course, I mean, you can just go and watch the movie just like everyone else, but it is always just so much more enjoyable once you can like make all the connections and you truly understand the entire story and everything, because the movie itself is going to be kind of isolated. It's not going to cover the entire story, but if you kind of understand the entire thing, it's really going to be a lot more enjoyable. So far, we have some details, a hint here and there, but we still don't really know what the movie will be exactly about and what the focus will be on. I mean, we do know it's like certain that it's going to cover Warcraft 1 and a bit of Rise of the Horde. And from what I've heard in the past few days, it'll be going more about, you know, before the entering the portal and the actual war, like the attack on Stormwind and the assassination of the king. I know a lot of people here expected that they will cover the entire Kill Jaeden and Ur'zhul plot and the destruction of the Draenei as a race, pretty much what the orcs did. But I think it might be even better to avoid that entire story, because it would kind of complicate the movie. I mean, if it was like a series, like Game of Thrones, which I would totally like, but if they did like a series, they could totally cover that. But since the movie is going to be like 2 hours or something like that, it's really gonna be confusing if they cover all these different like stories, because they would have to explain a story about the Eredar, about the Naru, Kill Jaeden, like why is he chasing Valen, and then they have to later on explain the role of Gul'dan, the Eye of Sargeras, and all that stuff, and it's just like too many different big stories into one, and I don't really think it would work too well with the movie. a bit of a bad thing, at least in my case, or like my opinion, is that the entire movie will be kind of a, in a different universe, and it's a really, really confusing matter. I mean, we have the main universe, in which pretty much everything that is happening in the lore is placed. We have the alternate universe, which is Worlds of Draenor, and now we have the entire cinematic universe. Now, it's kind of close to, like, the main universe, although all of the stuff is still canon, and they change quite a few things so that the movie can flow better, and they don't really have to stick to the rules that were set by the main universe, so it is kind of confusing, but I can kind of understand them, because they designed the whole Warcraft 1 and Warcraft 3 era when they were just, like, a small company in the 90s. They didn't really expect anything like a Warcraft movie or, like, World of Warcraft to ever happen, so they didn't really think long-term, so they made a lot of things that kind of bound them in place. So I'm totally not surprised about it, because they kind of can get rid of the bonds and they can kind of be a bit more creative and like make the movie a bit better. But just don't be surprised once you see some weird stuff in the movies, like the entire Alliance banner, which is the new Alliance banner, not the old one of like the initial Alliance, and maybe even dwarves that only joined like later on. And I mean, there are just a lot of cases like this going on, and as long as it isn't something like completely lore breaking that like changes the entire story, I'm really fine with it. I don't really think they shouldn't change some stuff if it's gonna make the movie a lot better. Now, a good thing, though, is that they have shown us some characters that will be appearing in the movie. Now, of course, I can't cover all of them in the videos because they have so much lore about them, but it did make lore lessons on almost all of them. Yes, I know, like, the lore lessons are pretty bad. I have the, like, the old ones when the channel was going in a completely different direction, but still, I think it will suffice if you want to learn more if you don't know too much about the character. The characters we know so far are Sir Anduin Lothar. He's one of the best warriors of like all time, and he's descendant of the Eretti bloodline, which relates to the original humans that created the entire human civilization. Now, in the real universe, he died during the Second War, or kinda near the end in the battle against Doomhammer, but he still played a big role as a supreme commander in the First War, and I'm pretty certain that we will see quite a bit of him in the movie. I did make a lore lesson on him, so if you want to learn more about his lore, you can just click on the link on the screen. After that, we have Lane Vryn, and it's kinda obvious he's the father of Varian Vryn, and he's the king of Stormwind. He also played a vital role in the First War, but sadly was assassinated by Garona Half-Orcan, who was possessed by the Shadow Council. Also, in the movie, we can see his wife, called Lady Tarya, I believe that's how it's pronounced, which is a completely new character, like, we know nothing about her, and I'm guessing it's just one of the things they're gonna add in the entire cinematic universe, as long as it isn't, like, a super important role, I'm kinda fine with it. Relating to Lane Vryn, we have Garona Half-Orcan. Now, if you have seen the movie stuff, you would think she kinda looks more like a human than an orc, which is actually the thing in the lore. It is actually known in the lore that she looks a lot more like a human, but in fact, she has nothing to do with the human. She is a half-Draenei, half-orc. And her mother is actually a sister of Marad, who, well, there's like no really like nice way to put it. She was raped by like orc warriors, and then she was magically aged and controlled by Gul'dan, which made her what she is. Now, she played a vital role in the First War on both the Alliance and the Horde side, and I have no doubt that she will also play a big role in the movie as well. Later on, we have Medivh, and of course, he had the most important role in both the First and the Second War, as he is pretty much the guy that summoned the Orcish Horde. Now, he's also a guardian, and a very, very powerful one at that, and at the time, he was possessed by Sargeras, which really made him do what he did. Now, he didn't really do, like, he didn't summon the Orcish Horde because he was evil, he was actually possessed by Sargeras. Now, next to Medivh, we will also see Khadgar, who is a student of his. Now, I'm not certain what they would really do with Khadgar, since he didn't really do anything, like, significant during the First War. He only, like, became prominent during the Second War, once he killed Medivh later on, and the human expedition to Draenor, when they set out to get rid of the Horde for good. So, he might just be introduced, and if they do, like, an entire sequel thing with the Warcraft movie, he might kinda play a bigger role. Now, also, I have a lore lesson on both Khadgar and Medivh, so you can check that out if you want to learn more about them. After that, on the Orcish side, we have Gul'dan, who I think is the second most important role after Medivh, as he is in a sense like the Horde side Medivh, but instead of being possessed, he's just lusting for power and is like completely evil. His original plan for taking Azeroth was so that he can take the Eye of Sargeras from the Tome of Sargeras and he can become like insanely powerful. Of course, he was tricked by Sargeras and killed once he got there, but still, that was one of the main motives. Now, I'm not certain if that will be a thing in the movie or not, since I've heard that they might change some stuff with the entire Gul'dan and the invasion of Azeroth, but at least you know what it was about. Now, on Gul'dan, I have both a 1-minute lore video and a full one about Gul'dan, so you can kinda learn something for both, and if you don't have time, you can just check out the 1-minute lore video. After that, we have some of the important orcs, like the orcish warlords. We have Durotan, the leader of the Frostal clan, and one of the only ones that actually stuck to the orcish traditions and was honorable, and not just like lusting for power and conquest. For that, he was exiled and later on killed by Gul'dan's assassins, and his son Troll, who was still a baby, was left there for dead until a human called Edelas Blackmorn picked him up and raised him as a gladiator, and after that, the entire new Horde was created. All in all, I think he'll play a big part in the movie, and I also have a lore lesson on Durotan if you want to check that out. Next on, we have Orgrim Doomhammer, and he's from the Blackrock clan, and he's also one of the honorable orcs who was sadly tricked, and he did a lot of bad stuff with the Horde. In the main universe, he saw through Gul'dan's trickery and killed the warchief Blackhand and took over the Horde, which he almost led to victory against the Alliance, only if he was not betrayed by Gul'dan, who went on his actual task to take the Eye of Sargeras, and it just showed that he didn't really care about the Horde at all, he just wanted the power for himself. But nevertheless, Orgrim is still considered as one of the most important orcs of all time, and even later on, he helped Troll in forming the new Horde, and that is pretty much when he died. As usual, I have a lore lesson on him if you want to learn more. And lastly, we have Blackhand, and Blackhand isn't that important, but he's still kinda important, if that makes sense. He was voted as the warchief of the Horde, and he thought he had like superpowers, but in reality, he was just a puppet of Gul'dan, who just used him as a decoy so that Gul'dan can like rule the Horde from the shadows. In the end, he was killed by Orgrim Doomhammer, but that was after the First War, but he still played a big role in the formation of the Horde and the First War, so I'm guessing we will see quite a bit of him in the movie. And I also have a lore lesson on him if you want to learn more about him. Alright, that is all there is for the characters. I'm guessing we'll also see a lot of other characters like Ner'zhul, most likely Grom Hellscream as he was important during the time, and all the other like warlords of the clan, possibly like Kil'rog, Deadeye, and Khargat Bladefist or something. Now, this video itself isn't really a lore video, it is more of like a summary with all the lore lessons linked into it, so you really have like 2 or 3 hours of lore if you really want to get prepared for it and watch those videos. I would also highly suggest that you check out the book called Rise of the Horde. I still haven't done a summary on it, but I'll probably will soon. I think it's the single most important thing that you should really do if you want to prepare for the movie, because you can learn how the Horde was created and how the entire First War was started and then formation of the Horde and all of that stuff, and I can definitely guarantee that it will clear out a lot of stuff for you if you haven't read it before. Alright, that is all I have for this video. Now do suggest on what you would like to see on the channel, and also don't forget to like and subscribe if you're not subscribed already, as it really helps out the channel and keeps all the videos going. And thanks a lot for taking your time out of your day to watch this video, and see you next time.
Hello everyone! The other day, someone on the stream asked me if Warcraft still has enough stories to tell to fill future expansions. I speculated a little bit during the stream from the top of my head, but later I figured that it might be fun to actually dedicate a video to it, and this is that video. Keep in mind that there are countless stories that they could invent in the future, and this is just me speculating a little bit about stories that they might use, about features that might be introduced, so this is just me speculating for a little bit of fun. Hope you'll enjoy. Let's begin, shall we? Starting off with the story that I find most likely to happen next is the expansion named Eye of Azshara. This story takes place after we come back from Draenor and we find out that the world of Azeroth has been taken over by Azshara, by the Naga and N'Zoth. Queen Azshara, she used to be the queen of the Night Elves until her plans of summoning Sargeras and the Legion failed. As the water surrounded her palace, whispers of the old gods offered her a deal. There is a way. You become more than you ever were. We can help. You will be more than you've ever been, and when the time comes, for what we grant you, you will serve us well. Azhar and the Highborn that were with her, they were transformed to the Naga, and they took up residence beneath the waves as the Sundering took place and transformed the world of Kalimdor. Azhara wasn't a queen just for her looks, even though she was beautiful to behold. She used her magic to enchant those around her, and the Pit Lord Manaroth, he recognized that she was a force against which only his Lord Sargeras and Archimonde would prove superior. That means that she was more powerful than Manaroth even as a Night Elf, and now she's teamed up with the Old Gods, so who knows what kind of power she has. So Azhara would be the main character in this storyline, but similar to the Cataclysm, where Deathwing was the main guy, but there was a guy behind the guy, so too does Azhara follow orders, and behind her are the Old Gods, specifically the Old God N'Zoth. We've seen his influence before during the Cataclysm, as he was said to be the one signing Deathwing's paychecks, and those that questioned in Vajir, you've also seen a few of his minions. The novel Stormrage had the Emerald Dream turn into the Emerald Nightmare, and the Old God N'Zoth was also behind this, and at the end of the book, Malfurion could sense that the evil behind it all was still in the ocean, but they would deal with it at another day. All these hints at N'Zoth being near the ocean, being beneath the waves of Azeroth, it has me believe that he's the one working close together with Azhara and the Naga. This story would be a great opening to introduce the other half of Azeroth, which we've never seen before, and we know that this is a possibility thanks to Red Shirt Guy at BlizzCon 2013.
The southernmost points of the Eastern Kingdoms, Kalimdor and Pandaria, are all either jungle or desert, which almost suggests we're at the equator. So does that mean there's a whole southern hemisphere of Azeroth left to explore in the future?
Yes. Yes.
One day?
No.
Let's just say, what did you say? Yes?
And no.
We're going to say yes and no at the same time. No, it's a very astute observation. It's crazy. Actually, we actually have argued about this in the studio. And it's, boy, we went back and forth. Because it does look like it's all temperate, you know, kind of down there. So I think it's totally possible that there's more stuff down there.
An unknown area of Azeroth. There's such potential to be placed there. So many secrets still hidden on Azeroth. On top of that, we also have a bunch of islands that we already know about. We got Khal Taras, which is Jaina's homeland. We got Tel Abim, the magical banana island. We got Kazan, the home island of the goblins, that still has parts to play. And of course, we can't forget about the trolls. During Mr. Pandaria, we found out that the Cataclysm also hit Zandalar, and it's now slowly sinking into the sea. King Rastakhan, a ruler of the Zandalari, he gave some ships to the prophet Zul to shut him up about his catastrophic prophecies, and these prophecies actually turn out to be true. Zul offered his people a way to escape, they decided to follow the prophets, and this leaves the fate of Rastakhan unknown. I think Rastakhan could be a great way to get us more familiar with ancient troll lore, perhaps with a little bit of Titan lore or Origin of Azeroth lore, and it also opens up the door to Vol'jin to make new allegiances and step forward in his new role as warchief. The first non-orcish warchief in history deserves his time in the spotlight. And what better way to do it than to combine it with some good old-fashioned troll stories? I think that could be awesome. Now for the Alliance side, I would say that this is a good time to bring back Magni Bronzebeard and create some drama within the unified faction that it currently is. Just before the Cataclysm, Magni Bronzebeard tried to use an ancient Titan ritual to communicate with the land, figure out what was going on and what was happening with the Cataclysm. This ritual backfired, and instead of communicating with the land, he was turned into a crystal, he became one with the land, but his spirit is still very much alive. He was mentioned in Thrall's short story, so he could still come back one day, and he could guide us in this new unexplored territory of Azeroth. Just imagine the former king waking up to find not only his daughter is now in the Council of Three Hammers, but also his grandson, the half-Bronzebeard, half-Dark Iron. The world as he knew it has completely changed. Will he be able to deal with that? Or will he try to reclaim his former seat of power? And will there be some little bit of drama? I would love to see that, to be honest. Right now, the Alliance is such a unified force. They are so very boring right now. I would love to see some more drama. So those are the major characters for that expansion. So in short, we come back, the Naga have taken over the world, and we have to stop Azhara, N'Zoth, they even have Neptulon under their control, whatever else they have in their arsenal. We need to take care of that, and we need to save the world. To aid us, we get to party with King Rastakhan, we get to build our own shipyard with sea battles, we get Magni Bronzebeard back, we get different islands, a whole new area of Azeroth to explore. I think there's a lot of potential for this storyline, and a great addition to this would be a neutral faction of pirates, perhaps, that could choose to work for either side, or perhaps this is the moment for the Murlocs to shine. Part of the expansion would have to take place within the water, of course, but you don't just get a seahorse like they did with Vashir, you also get submarines, while above the waves you get to set sail on your boat, you get to fight with each other, you get the quest on land, it's gonna be great. Now, the second story that they can go with is one that I like to call The Great Dark Beyond, but keep in mind these are just names that I give it. The Great Dark Beyond is the term used for the unexplored space or galaxy or universe or whatever you want to call it. Pretty much anything unexplored in the Warcraft universe, that is called The Great Dark Beyond. This story begins similar to the previous one, as in, we've cleaned up the storyline of Draenor, we go home, and instead of finding the Naga partying on the planet, this time it's the Legion.
Great Crane. You have not seen what I have seen.
You underestimate me.
The fires that once burned the sky will return. It is inevitable. The Burning Legion will find Azeroth. Seas of blood. Cities in ruin. Who are we? One divided world to stand against a legion?
Raffion's warnings during Mr. Pandaria of the world not ready yet, they've come true, and the Legion has dominated our remaining forces. Many of our heroes have been taken prisoner, taken to the home base in Argus, and we need to take care of this threat once and for all. The Legion has pushed us too far, and now that we know how to kill them for good, as we're gonna see with our command, we need to kill them within the Twisting Nether, now we know that it's time to take the battle to them. We clean up whatever forces they've got stationed in Azeroth, possibly together with the Naru, and we blast off into space. We know from Velen's short story that the Exodot has been repaired, so that's part of how we could get there, but alternatively, you could also say that we're gonna get another Tempest Keep, perhaps the goblins and the gnomes, they've been able to replicate Draenei technology. Either way, we build our spaceships, and these don't come cheap. We need to gather resources. Horde and Alliance needs to work together, similar to how they did it before the opening of Anquirage. We need to create a massive spaceship with the materials collected, and both sides blast off to their own starting planets, and from there they need to find a way to build their own individual spacecrafts. Similar to our own ships at sea, this will allow us to have world PvP outer space while fighting with our ships. I'm talking about small, fast, individual rockets if you want to travel really quick, to massive guild ships that have multiple stations to work together with. You can have people stationed on the guns and on the steering wheel, and you can fight with each other. You can steal resources. I think this would be so cool. Besides shooting each other, we'll also use these ships to visit new planets, of course. And this is where they can make the expansion shine with brand new cultures and designs, since there are millions of planets out there. We know of a few of them. We know of Zoroth, for example, the homeworld of the Dreadsteeds used by the Warlocks. You have Karesh, original homeworld of the Ethereals, which would be great to dive deeper into the origin story like they did with the Arakoa. And then there's of course Argus, homeworld of the Draenei, and now the stronghold of the Legion. Characters that can accompany us are of course Velen for the Draenei, and it would be great to find out that the Draenei are not as pure and holy as they pretend to be. Remember that they've been running away from Kil Jaeden and the Legion for years upon years. Countless times the Legion tried to capture them, and countless times they escaped. What happened to the planets that they visited before? How do they carry the burden of guilt? And what other skeletons are hiding in their closets?
We must unite against the Legion.
Besides Velen and Draenei, you also have of course Raffion, who has a high stake in all of this, so he and Anduin will probably join the journey, while the Naru and the Blood Elves, like Lady Leodrin, they could also be a great addition, and the Origin of Light could be further explored. Those are the people that come with us, and together we explore the Great Dark, we find out about new cultures, new storylines, new threats, we kick all kinds of butts until we reach Argus. There, a massive army of the Legion is waiting for us, but as we learned during Warlords of Draenor, you need to be in the Twisting Nether to really take care of the Legion. As luck would have it, Argus has a straight gateway into the Twisting Nether, and there, a few characters are waiting for us to join this battle. Illidan Stormrage, for example, many have requested for him to come back, including myself, and Illidan had become so much of a demon that he could never truly be killed on Outland. His spirit returned to the Nether, where he, as a demon hunter, he's been fighting against the Legion, but he did not fight alone. Illyria and Tyrellion are also at his side, and Tyrellion, he's one of the greatest human paladins in history, and Illyria is the long-lost Windrunner sister, and they finally return to the story. They hold the secrets and the keys to defeating Kil Jaeden and the Legion, but the real enemy, the real bad guy behind all of this, he's far too strong. Sir Garrus, as we take out Kil Jaeden, he shows up, he steps up to the plates, but we are nowhere near ready to take him on. With all haste, we evacuate out of the Twisting Nether. Maybe Velen or Illidan, or hell, maybe even Fura will stay behind to buy us some time, and we get the hell out of there back to our own planet. Not all is lost though, we've bought ourselves some valuable time, we've conquered areas of the Great Dark, and the Legion has been severely weakened. Raffion will resume his duties as the Earth Warden, but for the moment, the planet is safe. This could also be a great gateway into Warcraft 4, into the RTS, the whole battle shown in Valen's vision of the Army of Light against Darkness, but that's maybe getting a bit too far ahead. Now, the reason why I think this story is less likely to happen than Eye of Azshara, it's mainly because we just dealt with the Legion on Draenor, and it would be a little bit of a repeat. It's not impossible though, they could definitely go with it, it's just, you know, we've just done a Legion fight. I think it would be a little bit boring, but who knows. At number 3 for this list, the last one I'm gonna talk about today, I've placed a storyline left wide open at the end of the Wrath of the Lich King. So let's go with the name Wrath of the Lich Queen. As we took down Arthas, we got a beautiful cinematic, but one line that didn't make a lot of sense.
Without its master's command, the Restless Scourge will become an even greater threat to this world. Control must be maintained. There must always be a Lich King.
Tyrion nearly placed the helmet on his head, took up the role as Jailer of the Damned, but thankfully for him, Bolvar had nothing left to live for, and he took his place instead. This left Tyrion free to go home to Hearthglen, still wielding the Ashbringer, and now they're busy with cleaning up the Plaguelands and keeping it safe. Meanwhile, Sylvanas Windrunner is becoming more and more like the one that she hated. She had entered an allegiance with the Banshees, who will keep her alive and out of hell, while also resurrecting the dead and creating more forces for the Forsaken. They are Sylvanas' her bulwark against the Infinite, her way of avoiding that endless torment in hell, but it comes with a price.
What you have done here, Sylvanas, it goes against the laws of nature. Disgusting! Is the only word I have to describe it.
Warchief, without these new Forsaken, my people would die out. Our hold upon Gilneas and Northern Lordaeron would crumble.
Have you given any thought to what this means, Sylvanas? What difference is there between you and the Lich King now?
Isn't it obvious, Warchief? I serve the Horde.
I find it hard to imagine how this storyline would go. On the one hand, we have Sylvanas, who's running around acting like the Lich King, with a lot of people promising to take care of her, but not actually doing anything. On the other hand, Sylvanas is a fan favorite, she's leader of the Forsaken, so how do we deal with her without pissing off a whole bunch of fans and removing another Horde leader out of power? I always had hoped that reuniting with her sisters could possibly bring back Sylvanas from the dark side, but that storyline was used in War Crimes, in which Varisa made plans for Sylvanas to murder Garrosh. They grew closer, Sylvanas started to feel again, but in the end, Varisa quickly backed out and betrayed her sister. This devastated Sylvanas, and it makes me believe that not even Illyria can bring her back, but who knows? Maybe the older sister will have a better effect on her, and will be able to push her away from the dark side and become a little bit lighter again. Now that's a way that they could push Sylvanas back to a lighter side, but perhaps her fate is already sealed when she agreed to the Valkyr's proposition. It's uncertain what exactly the Valkyr gets out of helping Sylvanas, besides liberating themselves from Bolvar's control. Perhaps all of this was just part of a much greater plan. Now imagine that Ner'zhul, he never left the Helm of Domination. Arthas, in his mind, he stabbed both Ner'zhul and his good side with Frostmourne, claiming that he wouldn't be controlled anymore, but we already saw his good side still very much present during Wrath of the Lich King. Even the Lich King himself has said things like, I used to be a shaman, so perhaps Ner'zhul was never truly gone. He just moved to the back of Arthas' mind, biding his time until the inevitable would happen. His disobedient puppets would be defeated by the world, and Ner'zhul guided us, disguised as King Taranis himself. He gave us all the information that we needed, and at the end he proclaimed that there must always be a Lich King, but not for the reasons given. It wasn't to keep the undead under control, we already took care of the undead, there weren't that many forces left. Instead it was to give Ner'zhul a new host. At this very moment, he's whispering, corrupting the once noble and righteous Bolvar Four Dragon. Kel'Thuzad is still out there as well, we never destroyed his phylactery. And the Valkyr, they were never released from their service to the Lich King. All they did was fill Sylvanas' her mind with fake visions of hell, manipulating her back into the service of the one true king. Unknowing, she's creating more and more troops until the day comes that Ner'zhul's ready and the Lich King rises once more. He does not come alone though, he has found a new ally near the capital of the Forsaken. Beneath Tyr's Fall Glade sleeps the unnamed old god, responsible for driving the High Elves mad, responsible for the corruption and devastation that has befallen that area. Now Ner'zhul has found new allies, allies that are more than willing to set him free in exchange for their own freedom and their own glorious power. Rise of the Lich queen will set Sylvanas on a path of slavery. The sins of the past will catch up to her. But not to worry, fans. You will get the chance to save your beloved queen, and the Alliance will get their chance to reclaim old territories. Once all is said and done, the Forsaken will have to move, since the Old Gods sleeping beneath Tearsfall Glades, that's not an area you want to live in. They have to move to Icecrown, giving the Alliance the opportunity to retake their capital city of Lordran. They can retake Gilneas, and even Danath Trollbane will return to Stromgarde. You could even take this storyline further and remove Sylvanas' control over the Blood Elves, but that might be taking a little bit too far again. This is the basic setup. So Sylvanas, she is kind of going to be redeemed. It was actually a plan of Ner'zhul, and she's going to be turned into a slave. We're going to save her. We're going to take care of Ner'zhul, of Kel'Thuzad, and we're going to wrap up that storyline. Like I said, everyone, there are countless storylines and expansions that they could build on, and I still have a fair few ideas that they could use. So if you like this kind of video, let me know, and I might make more. Now, these are just a few at the top of my head that I would love to see. I think that there are many more to come. And let me know what you think. What would your perfect storyline, your perfect expansion be for in the future? Leave a comment down below, and who knows, we might make more videos like this. Anyways, I think I've been rambling and speculating for long enough, so thank you once again for watching, everyone. Subscribe if you like my videos, and until next time, guys. See ya!